Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Jon Stewart's celebrated and long tenure as host of The Daily Show is coming to an end tonight. It's his final show at Comedy Central. Over the years, Stewart has skewered everyone from George W. Bush to Arby's, Barack Obama, to any number of hypocritical politicians.
Kansas Governor Sam Brownback has signed a new concealed weapons law for Kansas.
The measure eliminates the 8 hours of training previously required by state law and the need to carry a permit.
That's 8 hours you could have already been shooting stuff.
Pew, pew, pew. But it turns out Stewart wasn't always commenting just from the sidelines, at least not strictly. Senior policy reporter Darren Samuelson with Politico reported in recent days that Jon Stewart met twice with Barack Obama at the White House and had open lines of communication with White House aides. In his seventh and final appearance on The Daily Show, the president said, "I can't believe you're leaving before me."
Waiting times are going back up. 50%.
The reason they're going back up is I just told you, you got 2.7 million new folks coming in.
When you start a lot of wars,
hold on a second.
It's going to add people.
Hold on a second.
Jon Stewart speaks to a young millennial audience that the administration helped get into office, thanks to them in 2008 and 2012. And so, without a doubt, the audience that Jon Stewart was speaking to is an audience that is the president's core base in terms of young voters, and an opportunity to talk to Stewart and give him a sense of where they're coming from provides that opportunity as well. I think that you got to think about it this way. Jon Stewart has made it a habit of attacking the administration when he thinks they're not doing things as progressively as he'd like to. And this, in turn, gives the administration some political room to maneuver. It lets them show maybe they're a little bit more moderate, which is can be appealing when they're trying to reach out to a different part of their base.
From the administration sources you spoke to in the Politico article, it's clear that they didn't expect to win him over 100%, but they just wanted to have a line of communication, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can't expect that Jon Stewart is going to walk away from your meeting and start spouting the administration's line in any way, shape, or form. No, Jon Stewart has, again, made it a habit of hitting the administration when he didn't think that they were doing the right thing, whether it be on Veterans Affairs and the bureaucratic bungling that was going on there, or implementing Obamacare, or negotiating with Republicans. Jon Stewart got furious when the Obama administration back in 2010, after Scott Brown won the Senate seat after Ted Kennedy passed away, and the Senate flipped, or it didn't flip, excuse me, but went from 60 Democrats to 59. Jon Stewart couldn't understand why the Democrats, with just such a large majority, started negotiating away things on climate change and on the Dodd-Frank bill. So he was hitting them pretty hard, and this was at least an opportunity to say to Stewart, hey, you know, we'd like you to at least see our perspective. And I'm sure for Jon Stewart's perspective, he was had the opportunity to let the administration know, no, you should be fighting back harder.
Is there any indication that the meetings with President Obama, and there were two of them that you've reported on, had any influence with what showed up on air?
That's hard to know. You obviously were not in the room. Jon Stewart has joked about this since my story published and really kind of ripped on the idea that that what was discussed ended up becoming part of the show. Obviously, the thing that I pointed to was on the day of Stewart's 2014 visit. It was the same day that the president went before the television cameras to warn Vladimir Putin to step back from what he was doing in the Ukraine with respect to the Crimea situation. And Stewart's next appearance, I think the Monday after, Stewart really ripped into to Putin as well, noting that we had just come out of the Olympics and there was a spirit of international brotherhood, and here he was tromping his way through a sovereign nation. But I wasn't trying to imply that that meant that what the White House said was what Stewart held up. And Stewart made that point in his broadcast that he's been ripping on Vladimir Putin going way back to the early Bush years. But I was just trying to put into context the moment in time when the president carves an hour out of his schedule to give Jon Stewart a visit. And obviously back in 2011, there was a lot of things happening. That was when the super committee was discussing and debating the budget. This was right around the time that Muammar Gaddafi was killed. I mean, there was a lot of things happening. And what the point I was trying to make in my story is, you know, the White House thought this was an important enough meeting to give to John Stewart, who has had some pretty significant sway on policy issues over the years, and they thought it was an important enough meeting to give John Stewart an hour of his time.
Fair to say that there's a sense of nostalgia even among some of the Republican sources you spoke with for Stewart's tenure?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people on both sides of the aisle saw John Stewart as someone who at least could be a megaphone that they could use to get their message out to a combination of liberal, educated viewers and millennial viewers. And, of course, the media is a pretty big fan of that show. And, you know, if you can speak on that show to the reporters who are maybe not paying attention to your issue, that might help to drive coverage. And so, yeah, I talked to John McCain. I talked to Rand Paul, who are two very prominent Republicans who have gone on the show many, many times. I talked to Michael Steele, who used to run the Republican Party. And all of them had very positive things to say. Ari Fleischer had positive things to say as well, former Bush spokesman, about the John Stewart show. Obviously, they were the butt of more jokes than they probably would have liked, but they saw him as often a fair questioner who gave them an opportunity to talk. Obviously, you got to be fast on that show, or you can quickly become the butt of a joke yourself.
Who do you think will fill the void in Washington, and how will the city change without John Stewart?
Who will fill the void? That's a good question. I think a lot of people are wondering that right now. You obviously have Stephen Colbert moving over to the Late Show to take over for David Letterman here in a couple of weeks. And I think that a lot of people will be watching to see how much politics does he put into a show that is, you know, traditionally known more for celebrities and talking maybe in one-liner jokes about what the administration is up to. Colbert really did make a name for himself with his personality. He's going to be dropping that shtick as he goes on television. So I think a lot of people will be watching to see what he does, and does he use that format for that opportunity. I think we'll be watching as well to see what Trevor Noah, the new Daily Show host, brings to this. John Oliver has really done a lot on his HBO program with these really meaty segments that he's been doing, pulling on a lot of different threads with respect to some big issues like net neutrality. He helped to, I think, if not shut down, I don't think he shut down the FCC website, but he clogged it pretty hardcore with a campaign that he did a couple of weeks ago questioning the FCC rules there on the fast lane for the web. So watching those three hosts, I think, going forward, and Larry Wilmore as well, who has the Stephen Colbert time slot there at Comedy Central, all people who have Jon Stewart ties as well, obviously, too.
Darren Samuelson is senior policy reporter with Politico. He wrote about Jon Stewart's secret White House visits. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes for us.
Thanks for having me.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.